And it was founded back in 1941 on the premise that every kid has the right to hear about Jesus Christ. And every kid has the right to make their own decision about their life concerning him. One of the things that Young Life does is they do summer camping. We had the privilege of being at one of the summer camps this summer. Young Life has 20-some summer camps that run, you know, all through the summer. So we were there for the month of July, which means we had four consecutive sessions of camp. And each session, about 400 kids and leaders came in. So I had the unique privilege of being the speaker. This is our family here that we're up. This is a picture from the backside of Saranac looking out into the Adirondack Mountains. I had the unique privilege of being the speaker, which meant that I get to be up front and proclaim the gospel. So every night I would stand up and I would, during the course of the week, walk through what we were designed for, the person of Jesus Christ. We talk about the problem of sin. We talk about the beautiful message of the gospel and the resurrection and then what it means to respond. At the end of the week, I would then have a session in the morning where we would gather folks that have made that decision to follow Christ. And at the end of the week, it was always fun to see who would show up for that. And we'd walk them through some of the basics of just what does it mean to begin to follow Christ, to begin to have this relationship with Jesus. So at the end of that time, we'd have the kids that decided to follow Christ come up on the stage. And this is one of the weeks right here of kids that came up on the stage that had decided to follow Christ. And, you know, I hope in the midst of it for us, it never gets old. I mean, you know, it may be a lot of kids, but it never gets old because it's individuals as well. So this was one of the weeks, and the arrow there is this gal, Kaylee, that I'm going to give you a chance to hear her story from Lori.
So real quick, I'm out of breath from chasing Malachi, but I get to be head leader, which is kind of like the disciplinarian, but also who pours into the leaders and kids who are just needing guidance, help, but also needing to stay in their cabins at night and that kind of thing. So that's what I get to do. We actually, if you have time, we can tell you some very funny stories. We get to do something called Purple Patrol, and I'll let you figure out what that is, but at night. Okay, I just have to read a verse, and then I'm going to tell you her quick story. I mean, I could tell you stories and stories of kids. I typically obviously get involved with the girls, but the leaders that struggle with just deep hurting kids usually come find me, and I get to engage. I mean, not, you know, there's hundreds of them there, but a handful each week, and it's a gift. I wake up every morning, can't think, I cannot believe I get to do this. But Isaiah 61, you know, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. And here's the verse with the girls that I saw this summer. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So this is Kaylee, and my interaction with her started because the head leaders do something at night like sweep camp, make sure everyone's in their cabins and where they're supposed to be and safe. And I had just done the sweep. It was probably like midnight. And my guy head leader was just kind of standing in front of the dorms where we stand in case leaders need help. And so I walked up to Ben and I said, I think we're all good. Everyone's in bed. Or is it all clear over here? And Ben's like, yeah, everyone's in bed. And then I turn around and we have this place called the smoking pit where we allow folks to smoke this one area of camp. And I see smoke coming from the smoking pit. And I'm like, Ben, I don't think everyone's in bed. Like, there's smoke coming from the smoking pit. And so we go in there, and Kaylee is sitting there by herself. She's from Hagerstown, Maryland. And this is like night two or three. I can't remember, but it is early on in the gospel. And she just basically starts pouring out her heart about she's from the most messed up home. Her parents are unemployed and have no motivation in life. She got kicked out of school. She just is nothing she's living for. And she has never been to a place like this. She has never felt so loved. And she's already weeping about going home. And this is like night two or three. She hasn't even heard the cross, you know. And anyway, we fall in love with this girl. I start hanging out with her and her leader. And she starts hanging out with our family and Brittany, our oldest in particular. And we just see her transformed. I mean, face visually transformed, beauty from ashes. This verse in particular, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Like, she came into camp frowning, just down in her spirit. I mean, you could just tell she was coming from nothingness and a lot of hurt and pain. And her whole demeanor, her whole facial expression, everything changed. She was completely engaged with every word Mike said, found us every day to tell us what she was thinking and how she was processing. And obviously, you know, she came to Christ and we were a wreck. But so here's the beauty of it. We kind of fell in love with her. So she was week one. We had 3 more weeks of kids to go. And I'm like, I don't want you to leave. Like, it's just beautiful when you see kids completely transform with the gospel. And so, you know, when you come down from Saranac, you come 81. And I said, Mike, I want to see Kaylee. So I texted her leader, and we always stop at this Chick-fil-A in Hagerstown, Maryland, when we travel to and from Saranac, if you're familiar with 81. So we text her leader, who was, like, on vacation in California, but her area director is like, Kaylee wants to see you, and she doesn't drive. And so he got her and brought her to us at Chick-fil-A, and we had lunch with her. So we hadn't seen her in 3 weeks, because this is after the end of the month. And like I said, she was week one. Well, she was ecstatic to see us, could not wait to tell us she'd gotten 2 jobs. Like, she was literally sitting around the house in the drug party culture doing nothing. Since we saw her 3 weeks later, she's got 2 jobs. We'll show you a slide in a second. Okay, so this is what she posted. If you can't read it, I'm going to read it to you because it made me weep. This is what she sent me. She said, having so much fun with both of my jobs, I'm so thankful for how much God has changed my life and made me better. I didn't come from the gutter, but I struggled and still do. But now look at me. And she's working at Dunkin' Donuts and at a daycare. Those are the pictures. And she was so proud to tell us. And the other beautiful thing is she looked me in the eye and she said, I am not perfect and I am messing up, but I am going back to my friends, like that whole just broken culture chasing death. And she's like, I am telling them about Jesus. And she's like, I have not been perfect. I'm not going to lie to you, but I am still following Christ and reading my Bible, and I am not going to give up. And our family just surrounded her, and it was just beautiful. So So she is in a culture in Hagerstown. Hagerstown's very suburban, and she's in a culture that her leader is sticking with her and loving her friends that definitely have not heard the gospel. So when you think of it, pray for Kaylee. But that is one story, but I know I'm on time limit, so I won't tell you others. That's just one.
Well, thank you. This next picture is not a repeat of the last picture we showed. This is a different week of kids that have decided to give their life to Christ. And yes, amen, right? I mean, I want to let you know, it humbles me every week to see the kids respond. I mean, not because I get to be the person that's vocalizing the gospel. And so it's very humbling. In the back right corner here, there's this kid, Cameron. He's from Northern Kentucky. And interesting story with him. This is him up close. He signed up for camp, then backed out. Then signed up for camp, then backed out. Then signed up for camp and backed out. Like, he dropped like 3 times. His leaders kept trying to get him to go. His friends were trying to get him to go. Eventually, they kind of just wanted to give up, but they finally got him to go to camp. His story is one. He shared this with me at the end of the week, and I'll tell you a little bit of that story in a second. But he says, I can't remember when I have not been high or drunk. He says, I wake up every morning, and I smoke pot before school. We skip out during part of school and drink. I get home in the afternoon, I drink, and then I can't fall asleep unless I smoke pot. He says, I can't remember when it's not been that way. So this kid, Cameron, in the midst of it all, we always have a lot of fun. And he kind of got a camp crush on Lori, which was really funny. So he sent this note to her and said, I love you more than French toast. Kind of, you know. So this is the note that he gave to Lori, and we had a good chuckle. And so I decided to use that one night and talk about, you know, love languages and how God really loves us. And anyway, so I had fun kind of highlighting him a little bit. And what was fun out of that is the last day, just after, it wasn't this meeting, it was the meeting before, he comes up to me on the stage and says, can we talk? And I was like, absolutely. So we walked out to a place right at the edge of the lake, a place called The Point, on these rocks, and we sat, and for 45 minutes, I could not get him to stop talking. He just kept talking about how his heart has been captured by God, how he's going home. He says, I have never felt so good in my life. I haven't done drugs in a week. And I'm not going back to that stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm going back. I'm going to tell all my friends about Christ and that they shouldn't keep chasing that stuff. And he says, and if they don't respond, I don't care. This is how I'm going to live. Again, broken home, difficult situation with his family. But on that rock, we prayed and we talked about life. And we talked about the power of forgiveness and going home and learning to forgive his dad, learning to forgive his mom, and learning to walk with his leaders.
And the way that, you know, one of the beautiful things about what we do with Young Life is kids come to camp with their leaders and they go home with their leaders. And Lori's going to share about 10 seconds here on one of their leaders.
Okay, I just have to share about Cameron, which was hysterical. I was very flattered. But anyway, I said that usually happens to Cooper, not me. But sorry. Anyway, so Cameron's, I just got to tell you this story. I know I'm embarrassing him. I got to tell you this story because generationally we see the impact in Young Life. So Cameron's leader, Trey, was afraid of Cameron. He came up to me and said, because he was always high and drunk at football games, and he really didn't even know how to approach him. But the beauty of Trey is 3 years ago, Trey met Christ when Mike was speaking at Timberwolf. Now, we're not, it has nothing to do with us, but I'm saying the weaving of lives that God does when we pour our lives out blows my mind. So we didn't even know Trey at that point when he was a high school kid and met Christ. Then last year, so that was, I guess, 3 years. Yeah, last year at Rockbridge, Trey brings his friends from the same high school, and his friends meet Christ. And that's when we first met him. We didn't even meet him when we were at Timberwolf before that. And then Trey brings Cameron, and Trey comes up to me that last day weeping. He's like, I met Christ, my friends met Christ, Cameron's here, he meets Christ. He's like the generations of spiritual heritage. Trey's like, I'm not giving up on him, I'm sticking next to Cameron. And so just how the Lord started that plan 3 years ago at Timberwolf for Trey to meet Christ, be called to be a leader, and pour his life out to Cameron blows my mind, how God weaves it in generationally when we pour our lives out. So that's just a taste of our summer.